jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 20 Supercoach Coach Podcast, and we're delivering this show to you after the team sheets have dropped this round, Mark, and unfortunately, bombshell, we might not be doing any more shows after this.
You're only going to do shows when you've got trades left, mate.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, I'll be back next week, even if Marcus isn't.
It's looking pretty bad. We got Nickel still out. We got Matt still out. We got whatever. Just nonsense.
You don't have a bench.
I don't have a bench. I'm facing a donut. It's a world of hurt, Mark. And I think I'm going to have to pull the trade trigger because Cruiser is out with a calf. He's 560K. That seems like it's just going to put way too much pressure on me not to get rid of him. So I think just hope that if I trade, that I can ride out the season, hopefully with...
No bench and no trades.
Well, I got Staker in the back line, Mitchell in the midfield, Rose playing for Nichols at the moment, and Nick Matt's still out. So, but one of the three of them plays, and it's pretty bad. But look, this is the gauntlet we ran, Mark, and I'm 122nd, and you only caught up, 20 points last week? So,
it was about that.
So I got 3 weeks left after this without trades to hopefully cling onto some sort of pride in ranking. I've top 500 the last 3 years in a row, so hopefully I don't slip out of that. But
you might head into four figures pretty soon, mate.
Yeah, I might
bomb. Add an extra zero.
I might bomb.
So how did you go last week?
22-35. Wasn't great. Ibo was laid out. Pritis was out. Staker and Mitchell coming in.
Same.
It was good that while I needed them for a few weeks, they were flying, and that was great. But
both had bound down games.
Yeah, these laid outs are putting them onto the field when they're already faltering, which is a struggle. Rowe, which was good to see, you got 75. He's a big reason why you didn't catch up even more this week.
Agreed.
So, I mean, all in all, not too bad. When I had vice captain on Selwood, and I just did it because I was like, if it goes well, I can rub it in Mark's face. But it didn't go well, so I put the captain on Gazza. And at that point, when I had Rowe to come and Ibo out, I was just like, screw this. Mark's got Swanee captain, and everything's going to go to shit. So it wasn't too bad all in all, Mark.
I scored a little bit higher, 22.59, dropped outside the top 200. It was only a few weeks ago that everything was going great and I'd risen in the rankings for like 10 weeks in a row and was just firing and just slowly falling apart. I don't quite know what happened on the weekend. Like, I had Ibo and Pritis as well, but I mean, I guess a lot of people did, and I guess some people had the Clisby coming on in the back line rather than Staker, which was a few more points, and Ryder's been down ever since I brought him in. Cruiser was actually down on the weekend with just 72, but I mean, like, I had Cochin do so well, Rockliffe, just not quite sure how I did so poorly on the weekend. And yeah, just dropped a little bit, but I still do have a few trades in the same spot as you, though. Probably going to be trading Cruz this week.
Now, on to happier things, Mark. We'll get on to the show. Enough of this sadness.
Number one league ranking.
Yeah, that's still pretty good. And we're holding on, clinging now, Mark, but we'll see.
Yeah, didn't have a great week.
We'll see how it goes. And it's first week of finals, isn't it?
And I take on you in a big preliminary battle. I finished top of the ladder, deservedly. Top of the ladder in the number one league.
Top of the ladder, deservedly. Well, I'm rank higher than you.
I'm just really good at league games, mate. I think top of the ladder in the number one league probably means I'm the best league player in the country, maybe the world. But, I definitely deserved first ranking in that league.
All right, Mark, enough pumping yourself up.
Massive battle this week. I definitely won the double chance. I'm going for back-to-back in that league.
Yeah, I think I may be struggling because I think Roe is a POD against you still this week, so not great. All right, now on to a question now from social media, Mark. We'll get straight into it. Tim asks, to sell or to keep Buddy?
Well, if you've kept him this long, I guess you've got someone to come on to the field, but it's finals, so I'd be pretty tempted to sell him. Like, if you're looking at a donut, you probably have to sell him. If you've got Staker coming on or someone like that, then first week of finals, if you've got four or so trades left, I'd probably be looking at trading still, I think. You've got to get those points on the field and get the win in the first week if you can.
Okay, so we're going to look at some replacements, Mark. And the first player is a guy that's been on absolute fire, pretty much looks like the next big thing in this competition, and I'm interested to see where Mark Sheahan has him already next year. But Jezza Cameron, Jesus Christ, the kid's a talent, and he's been pumping out some big games, and they've been translating to some scores as well. So how do you reckon for the final series? He's going to be an X-factor player, clearly, if you bring him in.
Well, Buddy to Cameron, that might be something we see a little bit of next year. Has scored really well lately, kicked eight and didn't like get a massive score, but the Giants do have a pretty nice run home, and I guess you'd, at the same price, you could bring in Travis Cloak, so you'd probably back Cloakie in above Cameron, even I would, I think.
Now, main from Frio, Mark, one of the most dead-eyed kicks in the competition and just makes the most of his chances, and that's what we love to see because it means consistent scores.
Has a really good draw as well. I think the draw is what is enticing about Maine, and has a decent upside. Scored 126 against Melbourne earlier in the year and gets to play them again. Giants this weekend. I think that I actually quite like Chris Maine as a pick. He's pretty left field, and you're probably not going to come up against too many teams that already have him, but I think he has the potential to average 100 or so. He does have a 5-round average of 98. Has the potential to post 120 pluses, which he's done three times this year. So, yeah, I quite like Maine as a pick, I think, with their draw.
I think a lot of these players are great for anyone sitting 5th to 8th and playing a final this week.
But you wouldn't be taking them if you were up top?
No, I just think particularly good for those people because Maine's lowest score, I think 61 for the year, which is great for his position. And like you said, he has the potential to pump out some big scores with a good draw, and he's a POD, so it kind of fits the bill perfectly.
Now, what about Robbie Gray? If you're low on trades, Robbie Gray's in form. Do you think you could bring him in?
Yeah, Mark, he's actually been okay injury-wise. I know he had that ACL, but he sort of managed his soft tissues a little bit better before that actually happened, didn't he? So considering he's managed actually quite a stint playing since round 4 now, I think, and scoring quite well as well, I think I'd be happy to recommend him if you're looking for a point of difference. And you've got to remember how highly we rated this kid. I mean, we've brought him, so many coaches have brought him into our team. So I think worth another punt if you need a risk. But I think if you're secure in the finals, then you probably wouldn't look at a guy like Gray, eh?
Yeah, I think probably maybe has slightly higher scoring potential than Maine, more likely to post consistent hundreds, but then he has a much tougher draw with the Geelong, the Suns, Frio and Carlton. So that draw would mean that I'd probably take Maine above Gray.
Now, a player from Melbourne, Mark, which is weird to consider. He's only in under 3,000 teams and used to be actually considered quite heavily in different fantasy games. Colin Sylvia. He's actually played reasonably consistently this year, and especially considering his attitude in previous years. I'm actually really impressed that we're talking about him in this light. He's stacking up to Jones pretty week to week in terms of attitude and attack on the football. So his scores have really reflected that, Mark. Since round 3, I think a low of 67, which came only this week. But apart from that, like, He's pretty much scored above 80, above 90 for most of the games.
He really has. I couldn't bring myself to watch Melbourne versus Giants on the weekend, but I'm guessing that he copped a tag from the Giants because they do put a lot of defensive midfielders on. So Gold Coast, Fremantle, Adelaide, Bulldogs, it's not the worst draw out there. And you'd probably expect him to keep posting those 80-plus scores. So, yeah, maybe he is the man at a cheaper price than Buddy.
Going to get you the points for sure, but his scoring potential definitely not there. I think his highs is 113, and that's pretty reflective of the role he plays at a club like Melbourne.
In previous seasons when they were winning games, he had the 150-pluses. Like, he could really post those huge scores.
But I think you're pretty much buying yourself a pack of 360 points there over the course of 4 weeks. Anyway, on to cruiser options now, Mark. So to the rucks, let's take a little bit of a look.
Do I really want to tell you who I'm going to pick?
I think at this point, Mark, you should just be nice about it and tell me exactly who you're going to pick so I can just hope to have one last card up my sleeve. But no, I think it's Minson v. Goldstein, no?
And Leuenberger, I think. Leuenberger's been quite impressive over the last month or so and has a decent draw on the run home. So I think that he should be spoken about in the same level as those two guys.
I think out of the picks, Minson seems like the most obvious choice. Leuenberger would be the risky choice. Where does that leave Goldstein, do you reckon?
Goldstein's just been scoring great. He has those massive games. He's got a really tough draw. That probably is the number one thing that makes me lean towards Minson more. Minson plays Melbourne in the grand final. So if you have aims of reaching the grand final, then Minson could be a huge beneficiary. Goldstein, I think the one thing on the weekend, though, he has had three scores below 100 in his last four because he does seem to be tiring, and his only real big game was against Melbourne in that period and against Geelong where they won, so you'd assume that they'd do this again. Petrie actually seemed to play a lot more ruck than he has in the past, so that might continue because there's been definitely reports that Goldstein is a bit tired and facing Adelaide, Essendon, Hawthorn, Collingwood. It's not the greatest draw out there, so... Yeah, I think that leads me towards Minson a little bit, but you probably need to go a point of difference and take Goldstein, I guess.
I think on form line, Louis is the one of the three that looks like he's actually trending upwards and scoring. Often that's what to actually look for. So, you know, you might be right, Mark. He might be the pick of the lot despite his deceiving... average, and he's only averaging 100 in comparison to the other two, but we do have to remember there was interrupted preseason too, and it was a noble effort to come back and play the game time that he did.
And he has got form of bringing home the seasons. I think going into next year, I'll be looking very strongly at Leuenberger. Just watching him around the grounds, he does look like the next Cox. It's definitely been spoken about for a few years, but just the way he moves around, and he does present as an extra midfielder. He does link up in play quite a lot. And I think that he's a pretty reliable pick, really.
Now, you've got this fella on the run sheet, but let's skim through him pretty quickly. No, Marich. Come on, the big mullet. He had a good year last year, but... 450k, scored 59 just a couple of weeks ago. He's a bit down, though, and their rucks division's been shuffling up heaps, and Vickery's coming in for Stephenson this week. Just not too much confidence there.
Yeah, I understand that. He did have 110 on the weekend and actually looked to exert himself physically, which he probably hasn't been doing in the previous weeks. So I think if you're looking for a Smokey that's a bit cheaper, I think he could probably do worse than Marich, even though there are some concerns that he's playing with a bit of an injury.
All right. Now, more questions from social media to wrap up the show, Mark. And Moosey here, one of our regulars, is asking, he's ranked 24th, Mark, and well done, Moosey. Great effort.
Yeah, well done, buddy.
He's asking, is it time to forget about the number one? Hashtag time to let go. What do you reckon?
Our mate Dunny, who was on the show a couple of months ago now, he's in 35th as well, and I think that probably is too far to come back with this long to go. I think that the winner's probably going to come from the top 10 and even likely the top 5 at this stage. Looking at past seasons, it's normally been someone in that top 3 really at this stage of the season that has taken it out, and it is hard to gain points on the winner. I guess in the last couple of seasons that there hasn't been as much carnage at the end of the year, so maybe that could be a factor, and there could be a lot of pain up the top, which might really throw things up in the air, and you could get once every 10 or so seasons, you might have someone come from right back to win it. But I think the winner's probably in the top 5 at the moment.
Now, Tom Catters has got a question again, and Amber's always got a question for us. Thank you. And she's still doing well, Mark.
She finished top of the Supercoach Female League this season, and there's four girls finished in the top 1,000. So a bit of a battle going on there for pride out of the Supercoach Coach girls.
She's got a question mark about Staker, and he's sitting at D7 for her. She's wondering, is it time to trade him out? And she wants to know about Ricky Henderson, which we covered a couple of weeks ago, Mark, and you've brought in now. So why don't you let her know how he's been playing for your team and whether you think she should bring him in as well.
I actually still quite like Hendo as a pick. I think he had 82 on the weekend. He's definitely getting more attention now. Had the De Boer tag 2 weeks ago and Monfrey's on the weekend. It's definitely started off really slow, which was a bit of a worry. But then when Adelaide got back into the game, so did he, and got some more possessions. I'm not sure about trading D7. I think that, look, if Staker's not playing, there's no real need to be messing around with that. I think I'd be trading for points on the field rather than covering my bench at this stage, unless you had just had like a ridiculous amount of trades. And Staker was an interesting one. He copped a corky early in that game on the weekend, which meant that he was stuck on 17 points for about two quarters until he kicked a couple of goals in the last quarter. Yeah, I think I'd probably just have a little bit more faith in Staker. And, I mean, he's picked this week and Jonathan Brown out. That was when he was scoring really well, was when Browning was out. So we might see a return to decent scoring from Staker. And it's not guaranteed that Henderson will actually score more than him.
Dom Dunn's got a question. Ryan Griffin looks to have a good run home, worth picking up for the finals.
Yes, absolutely. They play Melbourne in the grand final. Just like Minson, so he's gotten cheap now. He's shown the ability to score massive. Even with a bit of attention, he's been scoring really well. So I think that Ryan Griffin would be a great pick this week. I know some people, like Pritis, might be a late out. That'll probably be too late. But a few people are looking at midfield trades this week, and yeah, I think Ryan Griffin should definitely be a target on your list.
Yeah, top three players this year, man.
Adam Whitfield asks the very interesting question, Charlie Dixon, what do we think about him?
The Gold Coast scorers are doing all right, and he scored well at the start of the season, and in the back line we're still needing options and consistency is still an issue. He scored 104, 102 the last two games, under 10,000 selections, so POD for the run home.
With Nichols out, that would probably benefit him, playing a little bit of ruck time, and Gold Coast do have a really good draw. His scoring when he hasn't been injured this year has just been phenomenal. He's posted 100 almost every week. So, yeah, definitely playing Melbourne, Port, St Kilda, Giants. That's a pretty good draw, really.
Now, Ben Gordon's got a pretty ridiculous question here, but that's how ridiculously poor JPK is playing. Who to play on field out of Pritis, Mitchell and JPK?
I think I paid like nearly $600,000 for him and thought, gee, I better get him now before he goes like to $650,000. And it didn't happen. I'd still be playing JPK. Although Mitchell copped a pick and tag for a lot of the game last week, and I certainly don't expect him to be getting that much attention on the run home. So I don't expect the 48s to continue.
All right, Lorenzo's got a question mark. How would you look at using your remaining four trades? And he's asking in a league sense, Mark. So would you save two for the last week or just go hard all out to get to the finals? Let's talk some finals trading tactics.
I think that if you're not facing a donut this week and you don't have any of your bench players on, like a Staker, then I'd probably be looking at holding the trades. It depends where you're sitting in the finals. If you can have if you can win your prelim this week and have four trades going into the last 2 weeks, then that's basically as good as you can be set up. So that's really the situation you want to get in, I think. It depends whether you think you can beat your opposition this week. So it'd be a really good idea to go in and have a look at their team and work out whether you're a favourite or not and how much of a favourite you are. And are they affected by Buddy and Cruiser and those sort of things? You might have some idea how many trades they've got left. So I think they're all really important considerations. If you think you're probably not going to win this week, then that's a pretty good reason to be using two of those trades and hoping that you'll only need sort of one in each of the last 2 weeks if you can get over the line this week. But yeah, I think that my strategy would be, if I could beat my opponent, I'd be keeping him for the last two. If I thought I was an underdog, I'd be probably double trading this week.
Good call, Mark. Play your opponent. Last question for the podcast this week, Mark. Lachlan asks, is it worth bringing in Job despite his high break even due to his record against the Eagles and the fact that he's now unique?
Yeah, I think it would be. I think if Pritis was out this week or not named, then Job would probably be the most number one traded in player. And seeing as the Eagles play the Bombers, you can sort of make that decision at the last minute if you needed to. Job just showed on the weekend against Collingwood. The tag didn't go to him, went to Heppel instead, but he still pumped out 117, I think, and had 30-plus touches and looked like the old Job. So the Bombers do have a really tough draw in the last 4 weeks. There's some question marks on their form as a whole, but Job's a champion. He is one of the elite midfielders. Definitely could go on a big run and average 120 on the way home, even with a tough opposition. So I think at his price, Job would be pretty appealing to me. Am I just a Bomber fan that's saying that, or what do you think?
He has scored, 121, 166, 67, 138, 126, 66, 123, 144, 166 to start off the year. So I can see why you want to be bringing him in because of the super high scoring potential. And you did look on track to take the top three mantle. Griffin might not have got there if Watson didn't get injured. So I understand the appeal, but I think a couple of weeks ago I asked whether Essendon were flagging a little bit, and they seem to still have continued to sort of struggle a little bit. So I'm assuming that that's going to affect scoring, because 115 is great, but it's only one score, and if you know he's got, Job does have the tendency to go poor when he does get tagged out, and that's 67, 66, 73, and 79. So whereas some of the other ultra-elite midfielders may only go to 100. So that's a consideration as well.
Fair point. Now, looks like I'll be hosting the show by myself next week. Marcus is out of trades. He would have lost his prelim final against me. He'll be down. So you can come back and listen to me next week.
All right. All the best this week, Mark. Hopefully I scraped through with a decent score. And hopefully you crack back into the top 200. We'll catch you all next week. Good luck with your decisions, and good luck. It's the first week of finals.
Pressure.